churches and fellowships cannot be more spiritual than the individuals and families that constitute them. God greatly desires a godly home front. These are words of restoration and instruction in righteousness from Family Tent Ministry. May you be blessed as you listen.
Praise ye the Lord. We thank our God again for another edition of our monthly marriage forum that usually holds second Saturday of every month. We thank God for the privilege of life. We thank him for how we started since January, and now we are talking of the 11th month of the year. To him be all the glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. As we gather together again today for our for the forum, I trust the Lord that he will meet with each and every one of us in our different ways, in our different situations, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the month of October, September, and August, we took time to look at third party in marriage, and we concluded that theme in the month of October, when we look at the critical trial in marriage as a third party. And today we are moving on to looking at another topic that I titled Prioritizing and Treasuring Your Togetherness. Prioritizing, making it a priority. Treasuring, seriously valuing it, your togetherness, your marriage, your home. And for those of us women, for one reason or the other, did not see what was sent out yesterday, I said prioritizing and treasuring your togetherness is the burden of today's meeting. Marriage is such a unique and exceptional relationship that worth putting all effort into in order to make it gracious, peaceful. Make it gracious, peaceful, and blissful. Marriage is such a wonderful relationship. Now what's that? And putting everything into it to make it gracious, full of grace, full of life, the presence of God, the joy of God in the home, making it peaceful and making it blissful, a place of blessings, a place of increase, a place of expansion and enlargement. What all the effort? Then I noted in that this is how the almighty divine mind that is God. That is how God designed it. But we often think otherwise, and that is one major challenge today. We often think otherwise about this. We often don't note it. We often don't, you know, lay heart to it. And I noted further that just as the Lord told Saul, when Saul was busy attacking the church, doing everything he could for the church not to expand, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and told him that it is dangerous and it will turn out badly for you to keep you know, kicking against his purpose. The same way I noted that it is dangerous and it will turn out badly for you if you keep kicking against this divine mind, this divine design. And that is why we are gathering this morning, to look at prioritizing and treasuring your relationship, your togetherness. Why should you do so? Why is it so crucial? Why is it so important to do so? Are the things we intend to consider. And I trust the Lord that as we do, it will be a time of blessing, a time of glory, a time of abundance for us all in the name of Jesus Christ. So let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray so that we can move to looking at the topic together. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We thank you for all who you are and all that you are to us. We thank you for adoption. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for justification. We thank you for bringing us into the family of God. We thank you, our Father, that we will be called sons and daughters of God, and that we have the spirit of adoption by which we can cry, Father, Father. Lord, we thank you for all of these privileges. Our Father, as we gather this morning to look again at your word, as we look around the topic, prioritizing and treasuring our togetherness, Lord, I pray that you will meet with every one of us, our brethren who are connecting with us on Telegram, our brethren who are connecting with us on Mixlr. Lord, I pray you will meet with every one of us. It will be a time of refreshment, a time of instruction, a time, O God, of encounter. O Lord, our God, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Hear us, O Lord, out of the abundance of your mercy. Attend to our gathering this morning. Lord, every man that needs to hear this today, cause them one way or the other to gather with us. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen. Prioritizing and treasuring your togetherness, which is your your marital togetherness, your marriage togetherness, prioritizing and treasuring it. That is our focus today. And when we look at the topic, it just prioritizing simply means making it a priority, making something important, giving serious importance to something, make something a priority. It's talking about the importance that goes with your togetherness with your spouse. Treasuring talks about the value you attach to it. That there is need to give precedence, importance, and great value to your togetherness. I want to look at some of the reasons why we should do so. What are the reasons why we should be prioritizing it? Why must we be giving importance and value to our togetherness? Why should we be doing so? And possibly explaining how we can be doing so. You know, but much more the more, my concern this morning is why? You know, why is it important today for us to have a rethink about the way our attitude towards the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of marriage over time is losing its place, even among us I'm talking about the community of those of us that call ourselves believers. And we are seeing all kinds of things happening among us today. And it looks to me, or it seems to me, that it is because we don't really see the divine mind about our togetherness, you know, and because we don't really understand it, the sanctity of marriage is not something we give its place in our attitude, in our behavior. You know, attitude brings behavior. So the kind of attitude we have toward the sanctity of marriage brings behavior that shows serious disregard for what God intended to be, and by projection, a serious disregard for God. And that is what we are trying to look at this morning. And I want to say that looking at why, I will split it into section A and section B, and try to look at possibly two or three points in section A, similarly 2 to 3 points in section B before our time expires or is exhausted. So as we come together, let me quickly also say this. We say that because one or two persons may just be joining the community, you know, today, or you are just linking with us for the first time. If you are doing so, we want you to know that there is opportunity to ask questions. If you have questions, there's opportunity to ask the question. If you're on our WhatsApp page, you can put your question there. If you're not on our WhatsApp group, then you can put it on the Telegram group where you are listening, on the Telegram page where you are listening to the program. And if that is not also possible, if you're on Missla, you can also put your question there. Whichever way the question, whichever platform it is placed, it will definitely get to us, and we would attend to the question. We normally start attending to questions by 11:30. So once 11:30, if there are questions about marriage, or question about what we are discussing now, or what we have discussed even before, and you have one or two questions about it, please let the question come in before 11:30. So that by 11:30, we ask the technicals for questions, and then we can attend to those questions. Our focus is giving importance and value to marriage. Giving importance and value to marriage, to your togetherness. And the togetherness I'm talking about here is first and foremost the togetherness between a man and his wife. Once that togetherness is the way it should be, togetherness with the children becomes a walkover. But once the togetherness between a man and his wife is not the way it should be, then togetherness with other members, the children, becomes a very difficult thing. It's just like the saying, when two elephants fight, it is the grass that bears the brunt. So the impact or the effect of your togetherness not being gracious, not being peaceful, and not being blissful, why you will be the first partaker of it, the effect, it will also affect the children. So my concern is about the key players this morning. You and your spouse, giving importance and great value to your togetherness that makes you want to do everything to make it gracious, peaceful, and blissful. I said I'll be looking at why should we do everything, why should we do all we can to make it peaceful, to make it gracious, to make it blissful, to make it peaceful, to make it blissful. Why should we do all we can? That's our focus this morning. And I'm going to divide that, like I said, into two sections. Section A, I'll be looking at it in respect of the divine mind. Then section B, I'll be looking at it in respect of our human life. This human life. In respect of this human life, and many times we don't even look at that very well. And so we want to bring these things to the fore. Let's see one or two things we can discuss about this, and then we'll close for today. Now, in respect of the divine mind, like it's in respect of God, in respect of eternity, do you realize, in respect of God, that when you don't give importance and value to the sanctity of marriage, number one, in respect of God, number one, it is a sign that it is either you are not born again, and if you are born again, you don't know God. In respect of God, we are looking at the first thing. The first thing is that, you see, when you don't give priority, when you don't treasure your togetherness, when you don't give serious priority to it, when you disregard the sanctity of marriage, it is a sign, in respect of eternity, in respect of God, that it is possible that it is either you have not encountered God in a personal way. That is, you are not born again. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, except a man have an encounter, except a man, you know, is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You are not seeing that kingdom. You are not a part of that kingdom. You are not waiting for that kingdom. That you don't have, like Peter told Simon the sorcerer. He said, you don't have a part or a lot in this matter. You know, it is an indication that person who is doing that does not have a part or a lot in the kingdom of God. The other possibility is that if the person actually at any point in time became born again, then what could be happening is that the person is not knowing the Lord. Because it is one thing to be born again, it's another thing to grow. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2 that, therefore, as newborn babies, desire the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up. You know, when a child is born and the child is not growing, you know, and let's look at it like this. When the child is first giving birth to, there is joy. There is great joy. People will be rejoicing. But you know, if after 6 months, the child, there is no change at all. The child is just the way the child was born. There are no changes. It starts becoming an anxiety. If after 1 year, it is just that same way the child is born, then it has become a prayer point. It is no more a thing of joy. It has become a burden. Something to begin to waste. Something to begin to spend and waste resources upon. Either for medical intervention, surgical intervention, or spiritual intervention. There will be all kinds of intervention. Because ordinarily, when the child is born, the next thing is that there should be growth. Once the growth is not coming, and the child is just the way the child is, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 1 year, the joy of having the child is gone. The child has become a burden, a worrisome phenomenon, a thing to be bothered about. That is the situation of some people. So when you notice in your attitude towards your togetherness with your spouse, you are not somebody who greatly treasures it. You are not somebody who greatly value that togetherness. The indication towards God, the indication towards eternity, the indication, you know, towards the divine mind is that it is either you are not born again or you don't know God. I noticed something this morning when I was partly preparing for this message. I noticed something this morning. I want to quickly read that. I said, as we all await the hope of eternal life, as we are all here, the Bible says, he that have this hope in himself purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. So as we all await that hope, living our life with eternity in view, living our life in consciousness of heaven, living our life, you know, in consciousness of who we are, that our ship is not here. We are just aliens and strangers here. As we await the hope of eternal life, it is crucial to note that inspiration, teaching, and devotedness to religious activities that do not result in godly living are far from the truth. I take that again. As we all await the hope of eternal life, it is crucial to note that inspiration, I'm inspired, I have this revelation from God, I know this, I know that, I have this understanding. Then teachings here and there. Let's look at the word of God. Let's fellowship together. Teachings. And devotedness to religious activities. You know, different religious activities coming as a result of your membership of a fellowship or your membership of a church. There will definitely be activities. Devotedness to those activities. These three things. Inspiration, teachings, and devotedness to religious activities that do not result in godly living. Living a godly life are far from the truth. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are calling it, is actually an error. There's an error in what you are doing. There's an error somewhere. Something is not right somewhere. Something is not correct somewhere. The hope of eternal life brings godliness, brings godly living. A godly living that begins within the family. Within the family, before it now spills over to the society. Before it spills over to society, it begins within the family. Of course, that has implications for you who are not yet married, you are with your parents, how is your godliness showing at home? is what is the level of your subordination, your honor for your parents? What is the level of your obedience? What is the level of your submission to authority? What is the level of good works that you show at home and all of that? So that as we look at marital togetherness, which is our focus this morning, when godly living, like God, that's what we mean by godliness, thinking like God, acting like God, having the same mind which is in Christ, having that same mind. When you have a different mind, when his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways are not your ways, whatever looks like inspiration, whatever looks like teachings, whatever look like devotedness to religious activities, honestly, there is a fundamental problem. There is an error somewhere. That you need to look into your life about and correct. So that is the first thing I'm saying in that place, that in respect of eternity, in respect of God, in respect of our walk with God, when you are somebody who don't treasure your togetherness with your spouse, you are somebody who don't give such a great value to it, that wants to make you to do everything to make it gracious, to make it peaceful, to make it blissful, then definitely it is either you don't know the Lord, either you are not born of God, or you don't know the Lord. The second thing I want you to see in respect of God, in respect of eternity, is that, that's number two, is that when you don't prioritize your togetherness, when you don't give serious priority to it, you don't do everything to protect it, to defend it, to draw a line around it, such that you are concerned, you are daily making effort to be sure that, no, this togetherness with my spouse is bliss, is gracious. When I say grateful of God, in respect of the divine mind, it is an indication that you don't have regard for creation. And by inference again, when you don't have regard for creation, it means you disregard the Creator. How does it come? When you look at Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, you will notice that on the sixth day, when man was to be made, the Lord said, "Let us make man in our own image, and likeness, let them have," that Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, "let them have dominion over," of course, "everything that was created before man was created." They had to have dominion over everything that was created. Now, you notice that when God did that on that sixth day, I believe I've said this in some of our earlier meetings, what I want to say now, that you should realize that on that sixth day, what happened in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 actually came to pass after Genesis chapter 2. What happened in Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 1 is just a chronology of the order of creation. What happened each day? Genesis chapter 2 is not just chronology. It's second creation story. The how God did it. How he did it. How it was done. Genesis 2 gave us a picture, a clue into how some of these things were, what happened in one was done. And so in looking at the how in chapter 2, you will notice that what happened in 1, verse 28, when it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful. That's Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, then subdue it. What happened there? Was after the woman was created. The man and the woman were not created the same time on that fifth day. The man was first created. Adam was first made. You will see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Adam was first made before Eve. You also find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Adam was first made. And then when Adam was made, he was given instruction. He was given a garden to keep. That was going on before God now said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Let me make a help suitable for him. And then God went ahead to make the help. So, they were both created on the sixth day. Nothing happened on the seventh day because God created. But they were not created at the same time. So, chapter 1 makes us look as if they were created at the same time. See, God created them, male and female created them, and he blessed them. No, it's not the same time. Now, what I'm trying to make you see about disregard for creation, and that is what is happening today. People don't realize that if you want to destroy the society, begin to destroy the families. Because everybody using society, they are traceable to a family. Every child you see in society that is rebellious belong to a father and a mother. Who either I'm not God, so I will not be able to. I may not be able to judge rightly and perfectly for every situation. But every rebellious child is in society today that is giving us problem. I give society a problem. Comes from a mother and a father who either, like Eli, failed in their responsibility, and you see how God punished Eli for failing to bring up his children in a way that they will not be a problem to society. If you remember Ophni and Phineas, they were busy sleeping with women who came for worship, busy teaching sacrifices anyhow. And you see boys and girls like that in the streets, busy sexually violating people. You see boys like that violating ladies. You see ladies like that sleeping here and there with boys, fornication, immorality here and there. Unwanted pregnancy, all that going on. You see all of these things. So these children are either coming from parents who failed in their responsibility, or the other way around, the parents did not fail. They are coming from children who parents did everything to set right, but who went their own ways. It could be either of this. It could be either of this. But the point I'm trying to make is that you will notice that the same way the husband, that man, that woman, that director that is sleeping with his secretary, that secretary that is chasing the HOD, that woman out there that is having a extramarital affair, It's a disregard for the family institution. So you see that what you see in society is a reflection of a scattered family. How? When I said disregard for creation, every man, every woman is born of a woman. Creation. Family is the institution where we procreate, where children are born. Everybody belongs to a family. No institution owns anybody. Political institution, economic institution, religious institution, military, health, none of them. We don't belong there. And that is why sometimes I pity people who place all of these things above their family. You don't belong there. After everything you do in the political institution, after everything you do in the religious institution, you do in church and everything, after everything you do in the economic institution, after everything you do in the institution, you are still going to go back home. Where is your home? When a man is homeless, that man is a beast. When a woman is homeless, he's a beast. Everybody has a home where they must go back to. So when you are homeless, when you see a man that will sleep here today, sleep there tomorrow, sleep there next tomorrow, will not have a base, will not have a home, will not have something, go and check them. Go and check their lifestyle. Because all other things, they are not our base. We only go there to come back home. So anybody who is disregarding the togetherness at home, is somebody who is also scattering the society. Is disregarding creation. He who divides the home, divides the nation. He who divides the home does not see that God actually arranged family to be the basis for mediating society. So when you notice that in that creation, when you say, let me make him, why am I linking creation and marriage together? You will notice that when God said, let us make the woman, that creation, let us make a head suitable for him. Fundamental to that earth that is suitable is that the earth can reproduce. The earth can carry a baby. The earth can bring forth something. So you notice that there's a connection between creation and marriage. God was thinking about marriage. As he was thinking about marriage, he was thinking about creation. The command here, partly when it says be fruitful, multiply, replenish, it is partly for them to reproduce themselves, for there to be many Adams, and there to be many Eve. So you see that creation and marriage, they are linked together. When you see people who don't prioritize their togetherness, when you see people who don't prioritize, who don't give value to their togetherness, there are people who don't understand creation. There are people who don't, they are just, I don't know how to describe them. I don't know how best to describe you. But I'm only trying to make you see why the home should be treasured. That is that there is a connection between marriage and creation. They are tied together. Once marriage is disregarded, once marriage is not valued, it's not prioritized, you will discover that you are going to scatter all other institutions. You are going to be a problem for the church. People will be running here and there to circle different things in your marriage. You are going to be a problem where you work. You will not be a settled, happy person. If you don't value your wife, you start pursuing other people's wife in their offices. You start chasing women here and there to sleep with them because you are not valuing your own. If you don't value your husband, you start looking at some other men here and there, opening your lap here and there for other men. You see, you are just a problem to creation. You are a nuisance to society. So you see, prioritizing and treasuring your togetherness, you can see how it is linked, one, to our Christianity, our being born again, and our walking with God. When somebody is born again and is walking with God, there is a way he lives when it comes to the matter of marriage. There's a connection between that. That was the first thing we discussed. A connection between your eternity and your marriage relationship. Number two, there's a connection between your marriage relationship and creation. Anybody who disregard, you know, his or her togetherness with her spouse is somebody who is a destroyer of creation. Is somebody who will be a problem to creation. I mean to society, to everywhere you find them. They're going to be a problem to them. You know? And so, but more importantly, I'm looking at in respect of God. Look at what God did at creation. God tied creation and marriage together. And so, if anybody actually understands this, that person will know that when you are undermining your togetherness, actually you are undermining God. You are undermining God. I'm showing you the divine mind. And like I said in the write-up that I sent out, I want you to know very, very well. I want you to know very, 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 very well. That, see, brethren, it is very, 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 very hazardous. Very, very hazardous. And dangerous. It's going to turn out badly for you. When you are somebody who is working against this divine mind. That was exactly what Paul was told, what Saul was told. It's going to be dangerous. It will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the divine mind. You know, and the last thing I want to say in that place in respect of our eternity, our relationship with the Lord, before I come to the section B, is that when you look again at Genesis chapter 1, I just want to show you something there. Genesis 1 again. I just want to point your attention to something about treasuring and valuing your togetherness. When you look at Genesis chapter 1 again, in verse 27 and 28, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. You will notice something here that I want you I just want to call your attention to in between the line. You will notice that is the third thing in respect of God. Why must you treasure? Why must you prioritize your togetherness with your spouse? Now, when you look at that verse 28, you will notice that the Bible says, then God blessed them. Not the word, he blessed them. Them. Meaning the man and his wife. He blessed them. And said to them, be noting it, he blessed them. He said to them, the matter is about them. Eh? Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. I want you to compare this reading with Genesis chapter 3. After the fall. After the fall, let's see how it owes in the marriage. You will notice when God was to speak to the woman, he said, the scripture says, I love to take it from verse 10. So he said, that was Adam, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. That was the response of Adam. When God came, that was after the fall, when their eyes were now open after the fall. Now, then the Lord told the man, and he said to the man, who told you that you are naked? Who told you? Note the question pattern. He said, that is God talking to Adam. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? That was the question. What is to be the response ordinarily? It should be yes or no. So in this situation now, it is yes, I've eaten of it. Who told you that you are naked? It was because I could see now that I am naked. That's the ordinary response to that question. That's the frank and ordinary response to that question. But look at what Adam said. Then the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. What has he done? You notice, instead of taking responsibility for the problem in the marriage, and seeing how God could intervene for the marriage, and seeing what God, how he can plead for mercy. I have sinned. Please have mercy on me. What did he do? He shifted blame to the wife. That the matter on ground. Mind you, he did not answer the question. The question to him was, who told you? Have you eaten? He didn't answer all of that. What he simply did was to just say, the woman gave me of something to eat. Now, you notice again that the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. What do you see? What is happening here again? What has the woman done? She has shifted blame. I'm just going somewhere. Verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. The serpent got his portion. Then, when he got to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I want you to notice something in this place. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27-28, you notice that it was, he blessed them and said, they should have dominion. In chapter 3, there is a reverse, a similar reverse. It says, your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you. A kind of struggle, a kind of, you want to have your way, but this person will show you pepe. This person will do everything to suppress you. This person will do all that. Initially, that wasn't the situation. What I'm just trying to make you see is this. Is that when you don't treasure your togetherness in your relationship, it is an indication, a strong indication, that what operates in your marriage is the operation of sin. When it is you are the one that did it. No, it is the woman. He is there. You. And then, when you notice those kind of things in a home, it's a sign. Instead of looking at, where have I got it wrong? You are concerned with where the other person got it wrong. Anytime you want to talk, you always talk from the point of your justification to the condemnation of the other person. Why are you living like this? Don't mind him. He's like this. Don't mind her. He's like that. When you notice that is the only thing you look at in your togetherness, it is a sign that sin rules over you. Sin is a serious oppression in your life. So let's see how we work it. We value it because of that person did that, he did that, she did that, she did that. No consigning yourself. That whosoever is blinded, to his own contribution to any problem, let me tell you, it always takes two to fight. When there is a problem, it takes two. So, if anybody is only seeing one person, you only see one person as the source of a problem in your marriage, it's a sign that sin rules in you. What I mean by the spirit of self-justification. So, when you see people who don't treasure their togetherness, because of one thing or the other, they don't treasure their home. They don't see how, I will do this for this home to work. I will do that. There are people that are ruled by sin. There are people that are ruled by the spirit of self-justification. That is what is operating in their life. People who are not ruled by this, it will be, this thing is not working. It must be this that I didn't do well. It must be this. How can I do it better? This person is getting angry. What have I not understood about my spouse? What have I not seen correctly? What is it that I'm doing that is provoking this person? Where is it? What is that I'm not doing well? That is for a person that sin is not ruling over. For a person that sin is in charge of that person's life. It will be, don't mind her. Or don't mind him. You see, he is this, and until he does this, or he does that, me, I will not do this. Until she does this, until she does that, me, I will not do that. When you see people who talk like that, when people who are preoccupied with that, when people who wish that is your only perspective to their home, for which reason they are not treasured in their marriage, you are dealing with men that the spirit of self-justification, are taking possession of them. And such people, what they need is an encounter with God. Sin are taking charge of their life. So, you are somebody who don't treasure your relationship, you don't treasure your togetherness because of some things in your spouse. Because many times it's always coming from what he did, what she did, what she didn't do well, how she offended you, how he offended you, one thing that he said, one character in him, he's always like this, he's like that, she's like that. That thing, if you are somebody that, please go and check your life. If that is the only way, that is what you are always saying about your marriage, you are the problem of your life. It is you that has the problem. Something has taken charge of your life, you are not seeing it. And that is sin. When sin came into Adam, when sin came into Eve, the first thing, one thing, when it comes to their relationship that we saw was the spirit of self-justification. And then you now begin to see, well, I'm wanting to do this, I will rule over you, I'm going to do this, and then you see all those kind of, instead of them having dominion together, they are trying to conquer themselves, they are competing in the marriage, instead of them working together, moving together, thinking together, planning together, submitting to one another, looking at what God has said about their home, looking at, I got this wrong here, I'm so sorry, I'm making amends, to see that relationship will grow, what possesses them, what he did wrong, what she did wrong, what he did that, and that, anytime you see them talk, that is why you don't value their togetherness. Go and check such people, there are people that are possessed with the spirit of self-justification. Sin is fully in charge of their lives. That is on the side of our eternity. On the side of our humanity, the B section. On the side of our humanity, why should we treasure our togetherness? Why should we treasure it? On the side of our humanity, that is what I'm meant to say is that, let us even say that, we are living in respect of God. How does it profit us physically? That's what I'm trying to make you see. It's just like when I was talking to one of some of my students some time ago, and I said, even if God did not say, don't commit fornication or don't be immoral, I said, don't you see that as humans there is great benefit for our own lives when we don't commit fornication, when we are not immoral? And I was trying to tell them, I said, look at some of your colleagues, they started cheating. I was working in an hospital as a fellow. And normally my schedule is to counsel people who have been there, who have tested positive for HIV. Before they go out, before the doctor will not pronounce that they have it to them, and to prepare them psychologically. I remember the case of a young man that came after the test and it was referred to me. Of course, the doctor had been sent to me that the young man tested positive. So, once the result is sent, I have to just prepare the person before they now tell the person the result. And the young man came. And when he sat down before me, he said, yes, I've got to do the test. And you see him panting. What's the result? And I said, cool down. He said, please, sir, what's the result? And I said, calm down, young man. I said, why are you this anxious? He said, actually, I have one or two or three girlfriends like that, so I just want to be sure that I'm safe. So what is giving him anxiety? It was his lifestyle that made him restless. The wicked flee when man pursues him. That's what I look like in terms of our humanity. Treasuring and prioritizing and valuing our togetherness. How does this profit us, humanly speaking? That's what I'm trying to make you understand. There is great profit in it. And the first thing I want to make you see about it, about this thing, I'll just make two statements together. The first one is that life is so short, and marriage is much more short, you know, it's much more shorter than life. That it does not worth it, not having peace and rest in it. You know what the Bible says about life in Job chapter 7? In Job chapter 7, what does the Bible says about life? Job chapter 7. Look at what the Bible says about life in Job chapter 7. I want to read verse 14 thereabout. Am I right? No. Job chapter. Please, I'm coming. Let me get something clear. Maybe I didn't get my Bible text correctly. Let me quickly check something out. Job chapter 14. I read from verse 1. I want to make you see the way our human life is. Man who is born of a woman is of how many days? It's of few days and full of troubles. Ordinarily, the human life is so short. It's short and full of troubles. That is, even if you don't marry, if you don't enter into a marriage, that your life is short and it's so full of troubles. The marriage life is much more shorter, because normally you don't marry at birth. If you have to live 70 years, maybe you get to the age of 25 or 26, some even 30 or 35. Half of the years of your life you would have lived before you now marry. It's the main half, 35. And of that 35 years that you will live again, or if you married at 30, it's the main 40 years. I'm not making a case study that if you have to live for 70 years and you got married at 30, it remains 40 years. So you see, the marriage life is already shorter. You have just, if both of you will continue till you are 70, you have just 40 years out of the 70. Now, of that 40 years again, how many years will you spend together? How many hours will you spend together? For about 8 hours, you may be in your office, doing office work, doing one thing. Remove the time you used to sleep. Remove the time you used to be in church, in fellowship. Remove all those hours from your 70 years. Convert it to hours, convert it to day. By the time you remove all those hours from it, maybe what you will be left with will just be about 10 years of your life, actually, that you will be together with your, you will spend time together. So your togetherness is so short that it does not worth not making it peaceful. It's so short that it does not worth not making it gracious. It's so short, its marriage is so brief. The sacrifice we make for that togetherness to make it wonderful. The time of togetherness is so short. 24 hours of a day, maybe with 6 hours you slept, with 8 hours you are in the office. So how many hours will you be together in one day? maybe 3-4 hours, and you cannot do anything with just between just 3-4 hours to be happy with the person you married. You know, it's something that when you look at it, you just wonder, is it that you are having a mental health problem? Can't you see that? He does not want, you know, scattering the whole thing. He's so short, he's so brief, that the sacrifice he made to make it so sweet, it's not really much the way you are looking at not be happy. You come back again, maybe 2-3 hours before you sleep. You still cannot make it a happy time, a peaceful time, a joyful time. Don't you see that you are giving yourself a lot of problems? That life itself is full of so much trouble. Why are you complicating your matters by adding more troubles to yourself? Life is so short. Marriage is much shorter. Your togetherness, the time you spend. Say, I can't be sacrificing for this again. For how many hours? How many years? In the number of years that you will be married. That togetherness, for how many hours in a day? For how many days in the week? Brother, sister, go and have a rethink. Go and have a rethink about life. Have a rethink. And the second is, you know, statement that goes with that, looking at our own physical life, is this. Whether you make your marriage peaceful or you don't make your marriage peaceful, there are sacrifices you have to make in life. Whether you make your marriage peaceful, there are sacrifices you will make to make it peaceful. If your marriage is not peaceful, there are sacrifices you will also make to live that life that is not peaceful. So if you are running away from making sacrifices, you will still make sacrifices. When it is peaceful, you need sacrifice. When it is not peaceful, you also need sacrifice. You will sacrifice so many things. You will lose so many things. Whichever way you look at it. But let me tell you something I Jesus said, my yoke, he said my body, is light. My own yoke and my body. That is Matthew 11. The matter we're talking about is his own yoke. And he said something so categorical about his own yoke. When he was looking in verse 1, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It means the yoke of sin is a labor. The yoke of sin is heavy. And I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke and learn from me. I'm meek and gentle in heart. And you find rest for your soul. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me tell you, when you learn of God, you take the Lord's yoke. The Lord's yoke. You decide to go the Lord's way in your marriage. You decide to see it the way God sees it. You decide to know God, to fear God, and to live for God in it. The master said, my own yoke is easy. My burden is light. But the yoke of sin, of allowing sin to reign in your home, that yoke of competing with yourself, I will subdue him, I will subdue her, I will deal with her, I will deal with him. That yoke, that second one that you are carrying, the master said you will not find rest for your soul. The sacrifice you will be paying, that there will be no rest for your soul. You'll be a restless person. Go and check people whose home are not peaceful. They are also restless. Go and check people who are full of self-justification. They are restless people. As they fight at home, they will fight in their working place. They will fight in the streets. They will fight with their neighbors. Because the same thing that makes them not to live with one will also make them not to live with several others. They are restless people. Like the Lord spoke about Cain. He said, you'll be a wanderer. Eh? They are wanderers. They wander here and there in their spirit. They are restless people. So there is sacrifice to make. There are sacrifices. Huh? So, but I tell you that the sacrifice you put into it, for there to be peace, is nothing compared to the sacrifice you will make when there is no peace. That's the reality I want you to see. That's the reality I want you to see. I don't know whether you follow the social media or something that happened. Was it the day before yesterday? Within the week, myself and my wife were just discussing it. Somebody already have children for a particular man in a marriage, and then maybe on secretion or whatever in that marriage, she left that marriage to another one, and then something happened again in the other marriage that she went to. And this time around, the children in the first marriage, they were with her. The other person just went, took petrol, matches, sex, everybody ablaze. I mean, the wife, the children, set them ablaze. And then fled for his life. Of course, the rescue will come. Two children were already dead. The hospital is battling to save the life of the woman and the other three children. She left one looking for peace to go and get peace elsewhere. Where is the peace that she left one looking for? And if you look at what happened in that situation, is the second not worse than the first? What am I going to make you see is that, see, whichever way you do it, there are consequences. There are sacrifices you make. But I'm telling you, I'm advising you today, the yoke of the Lord, the yoke of treasury and prioritizing your home, is better. It's a better yoke. In our physical lives again, a third thing I want you to see about our humanity. I want you to get something. I want to show you something about David. Just a pointer to something. I read something, I was looking at the life of David, the course of the week. This matter just became a matter in my heart. 1 Kings chapter 1. I read from verse 1. The Bible says, now King David was very old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore, his servant said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the King, and let her stand before the King, and let her care for him, and let her lie in her bosom, in your bosom, that our Lord the King may be warm. So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territories of Israel and found Abisal the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely. Verse 4. She cared for the king and served him, but the king did know her. Let me read it, that reading on that translation. The girl was very beautiful. She waited on the king and took care of him, but the king had no sexual relationship with her. NIV. The girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relationship with her. The message. The girl was stunningly beautiful. She stayed at the king's side and looked after him, but the king did not have sex with her. Amplified. The maiden was beautiful. She waited on the king and nursed him, but the king had no sexual intercourse with her. You know what just struck me in reading this scripture? As I read, my mind just went back to David and Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel, chapter 11, you knew what happened. David was walking on the roof of his house. He saw a woman bathing. And then the woman was beautiful. This one, we are told that she was stunningly beautiful. She was very beautiful. That one was beautiful. And when the king saw her, the king left all the ones he had at home. He didn't prioritize those ones. He didn't treasure those ones. That's why I told people, if you think polygamy is a cure for lust, you are deceiving yourself. If you like, have 200. If you don't cure lust, you still be looking for more to marry and more to put inside. I hope you know how David got to marry Bathsheba. There were already about 7 at home. Polygamy solve the problem of that. If you have this, you say, anyway, that's not my focus this morning. I'm only pointing your attention to something. She saw that one. And when she saw Bathsheba, even when she said, this one is not a free-range woman, no. This one has been tied to a man. And that man is one of your 37 men that are loyal to you. You know Uriah, David had 37 men. The first three, the next three, and then the other, the next four, and then the remaining 30. You see that in 2 Samuel, towards the end of 2 Samuel. Uriah was one of those 30. Men who are loyal, committed to David. And you can see the loyalty when he came. Committed to fighting the wall of Israel, committed to the king. She was the wife of such a man. And David, out of love, everything. I cannot but sleep with her. She is everything I wanted now. And then he took her, slept with her. Then he began to see the consequences gradually. The woman is pregnant. Nobody must hear this. What do I do? We must kill her. We must kill you. Let's try to implicate the husband in the matter. You couldn't implicate the husband in the matter. The man must die. Let's kill him. All of that. And when the man, that was first the first anxiety, the wicked thing when no man pursues him. Then look at the second one. By the time he killed the man, there were now further consequences. Do you notice that? Virtually all the sons before Solomon were slaughtered. God said, the sword will not depart from your house. Look at how that thing almost wrecked the kingdom of David. Scattered the household of David. Amon slept with Tamar. Absalom killed Amon. Look at how everything scattered. I'm just trying to show you life. In a very short time again, that same David, they put on his bosom on his bosom. A girl that is totally beautiful, he could not do anything again. The same David. What I'm trying to make you see is that some of those things that you are treasuring now above your home, above your togetherness, it's just a matter of time, they will soon fade away. They will be meaningless to you. They will be meaningless to you. Look at how, lust, sex, I must have sex, I must do this, I must do that. Look at how he faded away with David. The woman was totally beautiful. But, it was this same lust that made David to ruin Absalom, Ammon, Tamar, Adonijah. He had to swear that Solomon would be king. Adonijah tried to make himself king. Look at how Solomon waited Adonijah. Look at the instability in the kingdom. Look at how the family is scattered. Because one man will not be contented with togetherness at all. What are those things that are looking attractive to you beyond your togetherness now? What are those things that are looking so valuable to you? What are those things that you are pursuing? Have you not heard of rich, the very rich committing suicide? If money is the all well and end well of life, and you are putting that above your togetherness, do you know that money is not? Money is not. If job is the all well and end well of life, I was reading something in the news, was it yesterday or before yesterday? A young lady who is with the DSS is commandant trainer with the DSS, was in a Uber on Third Mainland Bridge, got out of the taxi and then jumped into the river, and of course you know what it is, that's a suicidal attempt. That was suicidal. Jump into the river, of course, they are sat by the news yesterday. They have not been able to, get a body. The emergency, there was an emergency response, but of course, they are not able to get. By now, in that river, she is already dead. The taxi driver, the owner of the Uber, said she had an argument with the fiance. She's not yet married. Had an argument with the fiance and the. And then whatever, at least relationship with somebody. And that argument, whether it's the argument that caused the problem or whatever, we don't know. But that was the statement the taxi drivers made. That was what we were reading on the news, in the newspaper anyway. I didn't say that, I was reading that in the newspaper. But the point I'm trying to bring out, just three things. If having a good job is the all well and end well of life, will somebody who have that kind of a job jump into the river? I'm trying to make you understand something. Some of the things you are treasuring now above your togetherness, over time they will be meaningless to you. And if it is true that it was an instability between a marital relationship or something, or a marital relationship that led to that. A sacrifice is being paid. A supreme sacrifice is being paid for the sacrifice of having peace in it. Which one is better? Which sacrifice is better? Or the person who bonds the wife and is running away, now becoming a criminal and thrown into prison and trying to keep peace with the wife at home, the sacrifice to just love the woman, accept her whichever way, which one is better? want you to think of about these things. Some of the things that you are pursuing now, some of the things that you are pursuing now that are looking so valuable to you, they will soon fade. Life is so short. Technical speech, if there are questions, let us begin to have them. 11:30 have passed. If there are, please let us begin to have them. And if there are questions, please send them here. Let us have questions. Let us attend to those questions. So please, I'm only trying to make you see why you should treasure your togetherness. Why you should treasure that husband you married, that wife you married, that husband of your covenant, that wife of your covenant, and you know, those of you rushing here and there for second and third marriage, statistics, it's not me again, it's statistics, reading the, you know, marital statistics, they show that when you look at sources of marriage, first marriage have 70% success. The second one, the statistic said, I think about half of that, 35% success. Third one, I think they said 7% success. You see that the more we go the way of divorce, the more the likelihood that you'll never be able to settle down in one. The way of God is the best way to go. See the best way to go. So I'm encouraging you wherever you are. Please. Prioritize. Treasure your marriage. Treasure your relationship. Treasure your marriage. Treasure your relationship with your spouse. Put treasure into it. Value it. Give importance to it. Live for it. Pursue it. Make sure that you make it to work. You make it to work. That is the way to go. That's the correct way to go. As we are trying to round up this afternoon, because no questions have been sent to us, as we try to round up this afternoon, I want to make you again remember, do everything. It's worth everything you can do to make your togetherness gracious, peaceful, and blissful. When you make sacrifice to make your togetherness, when it is gracious, when it is peaceful, when it is blissful, there are so many things to enjoy. The first major thing is that you will find rest for your soul. Your soul will be at rest. You cannot replace anything with that. The Lord said you will find rest for your soul. Rest for the soul is something that is so important today. And then the other thing I also want to make you see as we close this morning is that if you are not ready to prioritize and value marital togetherness, it is important for you to know that marriage is a decision you made. It's only a decision that was made for you. You made up your mind to marry. So making up your mind to marry and not wanting to do what it takes to be in marriage is an aberration. It's an aberration. The Bible says, who has friends, make himself friendly. It's an aberration. If you know you cannot treasure, prioritize and value marital relationship, then do everything to live a pure life as a single person. That's also a sacrifice. Apostle Paul made us understand that very well. He said, if you choose not to marry, if you know you can hold your emotions, you can stay, you're not concerned with them. Because the only platform for sex and children that has eternity in it is marriage. Any other platform is against God. Bible says fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So even, and going out to just give birth here and there, it's also an aberration. It's an aberration. So if you don't want to value the token, you don't want to they will say, you don't eat your cake and then still have it back. If as a Christian you want to make heaven, you want to live for God, and you are not ready to make the sacrifice, you are not ready to do what it will take, you are not ready to prioritize your marriage, you are not ready to, to value it and give all it takes to make it, you doing it, not waiting. And that is also one bad thing I find today. Everybody is looking for a good husband. That's why I'm looking for a good wife. Nobody is thinking of, I will be a good wife, I will be a good husband. Self-centeredness, selfish people. That's what they will also carry into marriage. And when they get there, see, you're not even a good wife. You are not a good wife. And when they get, you're not even a good husband. Because that was what took them into marriage. It was not, I'm going into marriage to be a good wife. And many times what happens to them? Birds of the same feather flock together. They will find somebody like themselves. Who also came because they are looking for a good one. Then that is when two people that the spirit of self-justification is controlling. And then they cannot maintain a peaceful home. So, look at it very well. Marriage is not a must. You can live for God, you can live unto God, you can live life. If you are so persuaded, you are sure that is what God wants you to do, I want to go that way, you are persuaded in your walk with God, that is what you want to do, then why not? We trust the Lord that it will be a blessed time again for that of this month of December. We trust the Lord to meet with you then again. The Lord will preserve us beyond then. Let us close the meeting today as I ask my wife to pray for us.
Father, in Jesus' name, we are grateful again, Lord. We appreciate you, Father, for another time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for you are always here. Thank you for you. Do not leave us without instruction, without blessing, deliverance that come through your word. You always send your word to us because you are the author. You are the manufacturer of all things, and particularly the matter we are discussing, marriage. Lord, we lift up every life present in this meeting, physical and online. Everyone that will, by the virtue of hearing this message again, Lord, we pray that your hand will rest mightily upon us to be doers of this word and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for the working of your spirit. O Lord, to take away everything that is of self, makes us take yoke that are detrimental to our life. A selfish person does not know that is doing it for herself. Lord, please help us not to wallow in sin. Let no power of sin, you have broken it, they have no hold over our life. Lord, please, if it is in the way of our attitude, our behavior, in every way that have not been crucified by you, Lord, we bring every life before you. That, Lord, please let self be put to death in the name of Jesus. Help us to take upon us the yoke of Jesus. Help us to know that we have the Spirit of Christ. And if the Spirit of Christ is in us, it is clearly written what the Spirit of Christ is. Spirit that was obedient even in suffering. The Spirit that laid down his life for even his enemies. His enemies, people that never wanted him. The Spirit that look out for those who offend him. Lord, please let there be working graciously, O Lord, of your Spirit in us in the name of Jesus. So that even in our home, which is even a short time, Lord, very short, analyzing it, we put it to calculation, we come to discover that our togetherness is so short. And yet, if we are not careful, the enemy has been thinking, you know, distracting us, using many flimsy things that we can overlook to cause disunity, to make us not to enjoy one another. Lord, please, we pray, by the reason of your word that you have sent to us today, we break the arm of flesh over our lives in the name of Jesus. Help us to go, O Lord, in the strength of God. Help us to go, O Lord, to lay down, to make easy sacrifices. Sacrifice, you know, that is easy. Yoke that is light. In obedience to the word of God. In being selfless. Oh Lord, in being in forbearance. In kindness. In forgiveness. These are sacrifices to make. And these sacrifices are easy. This yoke, they are light. Help us to go in this strength. Help us to go carrying, oh Lord, this yoke that is light and this sacrifice that is easy in our marriage, even in our togetherness, in every other relationship we find ourselves, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God Almighty, you establish us more. Beyond this point, speak to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, brood upon this word in our heart. Expatiate it. Let it become flesh in us. Let it become hot. Let it become us. Let it become humor. Let it be our lifestyle, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your son that you have used to pray, O Lord. Never cease, O Lord, the working of your Spirit in him, in the name of Jesus. By the reason of your grace and mercy that has elected, has chosen him to be your mouthpiece. O Lord, the gate of hell will not prevail against him, will not prevail against his own, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for more of your grace, more of revelation, unction for the benefit of the church and for the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we go to gather back again, second Saturday in the month of December, if Christ tarries, Lord, we pray that, Lord, your blessings will remain with us. We will come back with testimonies. Every home that are in trouble, every home that are broken, every home that they are not together, Lord, we speak healing into you in the name of Jesus. We pray you will come back with testimony of the help of God. Let our homes be helped in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answers to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share the grace and fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
This message is coming to you from Family Tent Ministry, a Christian ministry involved in enriching the lives of singles and marriage through preaching and teaching of God's word, discipleship, family life enrichment, social and community development, and mission aid. Our regular activities are discipleship class every Monday, 5 p.m., Adolescents and Singles Club every first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Marriage Forum, second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Family Life Seminars, regular school outreaches, and everyday counseling. For further counseling, you can reach us at our location, Life Camp by the First Bridge, Ilere Community, opposite the Rejoy Filling Station along Ijare Road, Akure, Ondo State, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our social media handles, familytent@yahoo.co.uk, familytentministry01@gmail.com, www.familytentministry.org. Our phone numbers are 080-3386-1136, 070-3613-8. God bless you all.